Lord, as Mark has just prayed, Lord, we just ask that you would speak to us this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would give clarity to your word, that it would be clear, that you would give us hearts that can't let go of your word, that we'd be pursued by those things that you would say to us that we need to grab hold of. Lord, that you would help us to ignore anything that is of no use to us. Lord, that you would help us to listen, to think, to ponder on all that you would pour into our hearts and minds this morning. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would do that work in our hearts, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Another short verse as we had last week. But here we are, of course. This week we're just 3 days left of 2025. The year almost over. And maybe you think, oh, it's been a long year. Or maybe you think, well, where's the time gone? And it's often a time of year, I think, when you're sitting with the family, chewing on a chocolate-covered Brussels sprout, or whatever the latest delicacy is. I don't know what you get up to in a home. Brussels sprouts don't tend to enter our house very often. But you're doing that, and maybe you find yourself in a bit of a reflective mood. Maybe you'll be thinking back over good family times, over family celebrations, lovely holidays, real times of spiritual growth and blessing, perhaps reflections, though, are going to be tinged with sadness. Sadness of things that have broken, things that have fallen apart, things that have been lost. Broken relationships, lost loved ones, perhaps the year's been challenging and hard in places for you. Maybe it's been draining physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually, or maybe it's been draining in every one of those areas. Or is it maybe that you're not someone who actually spends a lot of time looking back? Perhaps when you are mulling stuff over with your mulled wine or whatever it is, you're mulling over the past year, but actually you're really reflecting on this year a little bit, but mainly looking ahead to the new year. Maybe you're busy starting to make plans. Maybe you're thinking about what's going to change in your life and how. Maybe some of those changes will be choices. Maybe there'll be things that will be forced upon you. I don't know what you ponder out with your Brussels sprouts covered in chocolate. I've no idea. But it's that time of year, isn't it? Well, a few centuries back, a chap called Geoffrey Chaucer wrote lots of things, but one thing he did write was, "Tide and time waits for no man." And he wasn't wrong, was he? As time moves on and moves along, we are constantly, constantly changing. And I've got an idea that a number of us will probably struggle with change. It's not something a lot of people always welcome, but change is good. And change, that's not definitely not the only reason, but change is one of the reasons that we're here in church. That's why we're here, part of the reason. We want to change. It's true, isn't it? I mean, that there are things in my life that definitely need hammering out and sorting out. I think it's true because what you're trying to do and what I'm trying to do is to make sense of who I am in this creation, in this universe, and make sense of who my Creator is and why He loves me that much. Maybe you're trying to make sense of the crazy world we live in, and are you looking to Jesus to see if He has any help at all to offer? Or you're someone who's already a Christian and you know that Jesus has more than just a little bit of help to offer. And do you want him to keep on doing that work that he has started in helping you to become more and more like him? That is change. That's why I'm here, because I have a deep desire to disown my sins, to honour the Lord God, to be more loving, to be more compassionate, to be more forgiving, to be more merciful. If you're a Christian, then you too, like me, you will want to do that, and we will want to help each other. Well, you know, that's why we're here. That's what church is about in lots of ways, isn't it? That's what Christianity is about. There's a lot going on in our lives, and sometimes we can't deal with it. And we're always looking. And there is always one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But God gives us each other to help live our lives the way that we should, and a way that will help the world to know what Jesus has done for us as well. Help the world to know what Jesus is doing for us. Because when people see you and me, they don't see somebody who's all kind of spiritual and fluffy and lovely and perfect, do they? Sorry if you think that's what you look like. You don't. What they see is a work in progress, but they see the progress. And they know that if Jesus has been doing stuff in your life today, then he's going to be doing stuff in your life tomorrow. And we want to see Jesus change people around us, don't we? As they understand the truth that he didn't just do it for me and for you, but he did it for all who would be willing to be remade, to be recreated, to be reconciled and restored by him who redeemed us, who saved us. So yeah, change is good. Change is necessary. At least it is if you're a messed up person. If you're not a messed up person in any way, then you don't need changing. You're already perfect. I'm guessing there aren't that many of us here, but you know, there might be one or two who think they are. Who knows? But we need redemption. We need to be remade. We need to be recreated. We need to be reconciled, put right with God. We need to be restored. Change is good and really good. And we all need it. In fact, we will all change whether or not we like it. What we will either see in our lives is deterioration as we get on and we do things our own way and we know that we've got this, because we haven't really. Or we will see restoration in our lives as we accept God's way, as we accept the things that he will have us do. We will change. And our circumstances may change. But as our reading reminds us, in a world that is constantly changing, there is one who is constantly constant. And there's a big buzz going on, Joe. I don't know whether you can turn some volume down, please, because it's really distracting. Thank you. The great thing is, Jesus doesn't get distracted. Why? Because it's the same yesterday, today, forever. He doesn't get distracted by big buzzes in the ear. But we do. We get distracted by all sorts of things. Don't we? We get distracted by things here and there. And we get distracted very, very easily. And that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews tells us, I think, isn't it? He tells us all sorts of things. But then he says, but there's something. There is something you really need to know. There is no distraction when God is looking out for you. There's no distraction when God is working out his plan, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is always here for us. He's always dependable. He's always caring for us. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Have you learned that verse yet? It's always a good way to learn a verse. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So let's just pull it apart a bit, that verse. Jesus Christ. Well, the name Jesus means Saviour. Peter, in his first letter, when he's writing to some other Christians in chapter 2, verse 24, he says this: Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Jesus went to the cross for you. He went to the cross to save you and me and everyone else who would accept that saving. So that's what our Saviour, Jesus, that baby, you know, the one we've been celebrating the birth of, that's what he came to do. He came to save us. Because that's what a Saviour does. But often you say we can use words, kind of churchy words, like Saviour, and miss what it means to have a Saviour, because we don't appreciate just what a Saviour is. Because a Saviour is simply someone who saves someone else. That's what a Saviour is. But the Saviour is Jesus. He's on a different level, a totally different level altogether. Why? Because only he could and only he did save us from a hellish eternity. That's our Saviour. What a Saviour. But our verse didn't just say Jesus is the same, does it? It says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And not just Jesus, Jesus Christ. And so we've seen that Jesus was his Christian name, as it were. It described who he is. Jesus, Saviour. But what about Christ? Is that his surname? No, it's not. It's his title. In Hebrew, it's Messiah. In Greek, it is Christ. But either way, it's his title. It is who he is. Messiah or Christ means anointed one, which you might think, well, that's a bit weird. But all the way through the Bible, God promised to send a Messiah, the one who would effect that perfect rescue that everyone has needed. Everyone who's ever been born has needed that rescue. And then suddenly, as we saw over Christmas, it was very sudden. Suddenly, Messiah or Christ came. And his coming blew everyone's minds. We saw that, didn't we, with the shepherds and we're, you know, a year or so later, the kings or the magi, the wise men, whatever you want to call them, and there were probably more than three of them, and they turn up on these camels and they've travelled miles. It blew their minds. King Herod, it blew his mind in a bad way because he wanted to be in charge. It blew the minds of Mary and Joseph. And as Jesus came to grow up and to be who he came to be and to teach what he came to teach, it blew the minds of everyone who came into contact with him. Why? Well, they're expecting someone. But what they were not expecting is that God himself would come in human form. Not a God-like man or a man like God, but 100% man and 100% God. This is who Christ is. So Jesus, the Saviour, Christ, the Anointed One, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I don't know what your personal little bubble that you live in looks like entirely, but I think I'm safe in saying that our world is fast changing. Whatever your bubble looks like, the world is fast changing and it's pulling apart. Politically, economically, relationally, and spiritually, people are in desperate need and are desperate for stability and purpose. We're in a world that is constantly changing. Well, says the writer to the Hebrews, let me just remind you again. What's this thing about Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And previously in his letter, In chapter 6 and verse 19, he has reminded us that Jesus is our anchor. Christ is our anchor. And an anchor makes us sure and steadfast. In fact, the truth is not that we have an anchor, but there is only one sure and steadfast anchor. And his name is Jesus. He is the King of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. He always has been. He always will be. And he is constantly perfect. Well, we're celebrating Christmas, aren't we? And we're thinking about Jesus' birth. And maybe in our heads we equate that with his beginning. But of course it is not his beginning. Jesus didn't just somehow turn up when he was born as a baby. Let's remind ourselves from John's Gospel. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. Or maybe we could try it like this. In the beginning was Christ. And Christ was with God, and Christ was God. Christ was in the beginning God. We turn right to the beginning of the book of Hebrews. We would find in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. Why? Because he was active in creation. Let me just read that for us. You don't need to turn to it. I'm just going to read it. In these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I just love those verses, but particularly a great thing to remember when the world's in turmoil around you or the world's in turmoil within your heart. Remember this. He upholds the whole of creation by his word. He speaks it into existence, and he's speaking it into existing. And one day he's going to speak it into a recreation, what we think of as heaven, but actually a whole new creation with him at the center of it and us with him. That's the future. But now he's holding it in existence. And he's doing it for you and for me. If we were to whiz along to Hebrews 4:7, we'd find that we're told that Jesus is the same today. So it's in the writer of Hebrews is in telling us that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. What he's doing here is reminding the readers of this of what he's already told them. So he told them at the beginning that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday. In verse 7 of chapter 4, he's saying he's here, he's exactly the same today. He's offering salvation to everyone who will trust in him. He says this. Again, he appoints a certain day, that is today, saying through David, so long afterwards, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today is the day that if you don't know Jesus, you can. And you should. But then if you were to keep whizzing along to Hebrews 10:12, we find out there that we're told Jesus Christ is the same forever, reigning in glory in heaven. It says this, our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honour at God's right hand. All that is there. All that Jesus was yesterday, he is today, and he will be tomorrow. Jesus does not change. His word does not change. Jesus is always relevant. He is always reliable. And he is always, I'm just going to use another big word here, he's always immutable. What does that mean? It means he is utterly unchangeable. How many times do we hear people say things like, oh, come on, wake up, church. You're old-fashioned, you're outdated. You are completely irrelevant. And if you want a place in our modern, trendy, woke society, what you've got to do is to change. Change your message. Change your God. Give Jesus a makeover. What you need to do, church, is to massage your message and make it a bit more acceptable. Knock off the difficult bits. Yeah, because we'd like Jesus, but only if Jesus will accept what we want. Only if Jesus is convenient. Only if Jesus is not offensive. But the truth is, Jesus Christ is God's final word to humanity. Whether that is humanity centuries ago, or whether that is humanity a few days in the future, or whether it's humanity right now, Jesus Christ is always relevant. He's the same yesterday and today and forever, whether that is convenient or whether it is not, whether people like that or whether they don't, whether they want to rebel against him and go their own way, or whether they want to fall down and say, thank you, Jesus. Jesus Christ will not change to comply with a slippery, self-centered, self-seeking society. He never has and he never will. Now, he's come to do much, much more than that. Jesus will not change. He didn't come to be changed, because Jesus came to make it possible for you and me to be changed. He doesn't need changing. We do. The world around us needs changing. He came so that the world could accept him and be changed to perfection. How many people are spending billions of pounds looking for perfection, looking for a cure for this or a cure for that, or to make themselves look as beautiful as I do, or better even? How many people are spending that kind of money? Jesus says you need changing. But you don't need to look like that idiot preaching to you at the moment. You need to look like me. Jesus, who is ruling and reigning in heaven today, is the same Jesus who created everything out of nothing. He is the same Jesus who was here on the earth a couple of thousand years ago. And that Jesus is perfect today as he has always been perfect. He is dynamic as he has always been dynamic. He is perfect love, he is perfect justice, and he will not change. For he has come so that I can be changed, so that you can be changed. He has come so that all who will truly want to live lives to the full can be changed and live them. So looking back to yesterday, we can know that with certainty, this simple fact of history is a fact. Jesus never changes. Jesus is alive. He's the same person who pre-existed before he became human, and he is the same Christ who walked the roads of Galilee. He is the same one who raised Lazarus from the dead. He was the same one who was raised from death himself, and lives eternally. He is the same Christ who laid down his life, that is, and took it up again as he said he would. He is the same Christ who said this: for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. And he's the same Christ who also said this: the one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who refuses to believe in the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. Same chapter of John, verse 36. He is the same. He's the same Christ who we are told in Revelation 19:16, the whole of creation will at the end of time, they will see and they will declare that he is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He is who he said he is. He's the same Christ, as we're told in John 5:22, has absolute authority to judge and will. So where does this leave us today? Where does it leave you? Where does it leave me here in Carshalton on the last Sunday of 2025? Well, obviously, I've said a lot about this short verse, and everything I've said is true. And that's a good place to start, isn't it? But I wonder what you're going to do with it. In fact, to be honest with you, I often wonder every week, what will I actually do? Or will we do anything with God's word? Or will we just get busy with life and stuff and the things of life and the stuff of life, and all that will be thrown at us? Or might we get so busy with that we find instead of asking Jesus to change us, to work in our lives through us, to have his word and to lead us in our lives, instead of that, we might just let our lives lead us. It's so easy to let your life lead you. Because you will get busy, and you will get busier than you should get. And that busyness will pull you along. And you will think you've got to do it. And Jesus will say, stop. And if you don't stop, he'll make you. And he'll say, look at this. I need to change. Don't be changed by your circumstances. Don't be changed by your life. Let my word change you. Well, here are some possible pointers from this verse. Well, Jesus is our creator. He's our saviour. He's our sustainer. And that fact, when we ponder on that, and if we do ponder on it, and we should, must surely have an effect. Firstly, if you don't know him that way, if you don't know him as your saviour, as your sustainer, don't wait another day for an introduction. Come and talk to me or talk to another Christian here this morning. If you do know him, though, as your creator, as your saviour, as your sustainer, let me ask you, are you welcoming your creator into your heart to do that work that you know you want, that you know you need? That work that we use a big theological word, call it sanctification, but to put it in plain English, are you letting him, are you really expecting him to recreate you in his image? Are you constantly aware of just how much love and grace and mercy he poured out on the cross to be your saviour? Are you relying on him to be your only sustainer, as the one who we can truly rely on to be fuel, to keep us fueled, to keep us on track, to keep us fed, to keep us content, to keep us living joyful lives, to keep us living in peace with ourselves and with other people and with him, to keep us sharing his love and his care for others, to keep us enjoying the lives that he's blessed us with? And alongside that, let me just ask you this. In a world which is constantly changing, where is your constancy? Where is your anchor? Where is your life tethered to? Where is your heart fixed? Is it your bank balance? Is it your work? Is it a friend? Is it your family? Is it your job? Is it your, I don't know, is it your certainty that you can handle everything? Or is it so often, sadly, the case these days, is it your virtual world or your virtual friends on social media? You see, all those things can fail. They've failed in the past, they could fail today, and they could fail in the future. But not Jesus, not Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've got one further point, but just before we move on, I want to touch a bit more on that issue of social media, because I know for a fact that this is going to be an issue for some of us. And that genuinely, if that, you know, isn't a problem for you, then that is great, but don't get smug about it. Praise God for it. But I know for a fact this is an issue for some. It's an issue because some will be relying on their virtual friendships instead of real, true life and friendships. They'll be relying on so-called wisdom of people they might watch on YouTube. Well, there's some wise stuff on YouTube, but there is a majority of it rubbish. They might be looking at the wisdom of Facebook or Twitter or X or whatever it's called these days, or Instagram or groups on WhatsApp, rather than relying on Jesus Christ, who is the source of all wisdom, yesterday and today and forever. And I know for people who will have an issue with that you may not want to admit it. You may not even think it's a problem for you. And if you're not sure, let me just give you this as a test. Take a month away from social media and see how it impacts your life. Now, seriously, even the idea of that, if that gives you a little bit of fear or annoyance or concern that somebody should even suggest that to you, then I tell you, you've got a problem. And it might be a big one. But don't let it stay a problem. Talk to somebody if you need help. Pray about it. Do something about it. Anyhow, lastly, very short point to finish with. Let's just hold on. Hold on to the incredible truth that our God is consistent. Our God is faithful. Our God is absolutely trustworthy. Every day, whatever the day is called, every year, whatever the year is, he is. He always has been, he always will be. So yeah, he is today. The world around us will tell us we're out of date, we need to change, we need to soften things, we need to strike out some of Jesus' words to be a bit more relevant, to be a bit more cool. Yes, we'll find the pressure of that in the days that we live. But thank God, he does not change. He doesn't feel the pressure. He says, just get on with it and do it in my strength. Do it in my way, because I am always just. I am always full of love and always full of compassion. And I always will hold you up as you trust me. And I will be there with you as you share the truth that the world around you needs to hear. So let's be thankful as we close this year that we have a God who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's pray.